Welcome to National Bugle Radio. This is your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, broadcasting to you live from the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky, home of thoroughbred racing and bourbon whiskey. You are welcome. We are live today taking your calls for your afternoon drive. 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Send shekels. This station needs your donations to keep free speech alive. You can even call 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. That's 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And you can pay by credit card like I did a couple of weeks ago. I put $20 in. I'm going to do $20 a month. What if 1,000 people did $20 a month? What kind of impact would that make on the station? We've got to keep free speech alive. So donate to RBN. Also, you can go to nationalbugle.com and click on the Kosher Certified app because you too want to lead a non-kosher certified life. Or maybe you are some of our Jewish friends. We have Jewish listeners. Maybe you're Chabad Lubavitch and you want to keep your life kosher certified. You can buy that app too. And you can figure out what foods are kosher certified to, you know, fund your diet. It's a win-win situation. So we're here today live on Thursday. And I want to hear what you have to say, so give us a call. But currently, here in the United States of America, we're trying to get a justice confirmed. That would be the Senate hearings this week. And, you know, this young lady in the Senate hearings, this justice, Miss Amy, she has had to renounce white supremacism several times. Thank God Amy Barrett renounced white supremacy for the upteenth time this week, because that's what matters, right? The senators specifically were telling her to renounce white supremacism because that's the talking point of the day. And why is it, and then what did she how did she react when they asked her what she thought of the Floyd video, right? They said, what was your reaction when you watched George Floyd? And she said, well, I would hope that my black daughter, who may have black sons, I hope those little black sons would not be treated this way. You know, the proper reaction would have been, you know, Senator, I would hope that my black son that I adopted from Haiti wouldn't grow up to be a drug-abusing felon who fought against the police when they arrested him for passing counterfeit bills. That should be the proper response. But this justice capitulated to the Black Lives Matter narrative. That's where we're at today. So are we going to get justice in the courts? Maybe the lower-level courts. But the Supreme Court lineup, I'm questioning it. I'm having a little bit of difficulty seeing how it's going to benefit us, because how is this, you know, Amy Barrett going to rule on matters of police versus Black Lives Matter? You know, is she going to rule in defense of the police, or is she going to rule in defense of the Marxists that are trying to tear down this country? That's a question for you, the listeners. And we have a few more articles to cover. We do have one caller right now. I want to bring him in because he has lots to say. It's Josh from New York. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. I was just actually going to call you about this because I did see that soundbite where there were numerous times in the hearing where she said that, oh, yeah, I can't say about this thing, or I don't have an opinion of this. I have to look at it objectively. And then when George Floyd comes up, all, you know, objective thinking and logic and things like that just go right out the window. So it's looking bad in terms of I think in terms of ethical issues and freedom of religion, it seems like she's probably going to be pretty solid. But in terms of, you know, discrimination and diversity, she's not going to be a rock on that one. And also, just the fact that she has 7 kids, like, what's she doing trying to pursue this career in law, in being a judge on the biggest court? Like, if you're a mother of 7 young children, shouldn't you be at home taking care of your kids? Don't they need you? I don't know. Well, I could see maybe she's sincere and she's chasing her career, but also maybe she just adopts these black kids as a way to promote herself, as a way to further herself, you know, in her political career. What do you think about
that? It's very patriarchal of you to suggest that she should be home taking care of her kids. But yeah, that's, I know. My problem with this is her emotional reaction. You know, we have all been able to see the results of the George Floyd arrest. We know that he was on drugs. We know that he was a felon. We know that he fought against the police. And so these are the facts. So a judge should unemotionally act on facts and not, you know, and not her emotion. And she clearly demonstrated, I guess she was capitulating to the Senate. She was trying to give them a little bit. But, I mean, to me, that sent a message that she's going to make judgments based on her emotions. She hopes that her black daughter will not have black sons who will be subject to this abuse. Abuse? I mean, okay. You know, the police had a, you know, in their manual, this is how they were supposed to react to this individual. Sure, maybe it was over the top, but they reacted according to how they were trained. Were they trained improperly? Maybe that's a question we could ask, but they reacted the way that they were trained. This guy was clearly, you know, on drugs. He was clearly resisting arrest. He said he couldn't breathe before they ever put the knee on the neck. And, you know, this lady is reacting emotionally, and that worries me. What do you think about that, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's probably why it's not. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit controversial to say this, but obviously women are not really the most generally, there are exceptions, but generally not the most objective thinkers. And the left understands that, and they exploit that. And that's why they just put the video of Derek Chauvin with his knee on the neck, and it appears like his hand is in his pocket when it really isn't. It's just a black glove, so you can't really see it. And it really seems like he's just trying to, not trying to kill him, obviously, but when you just constantly reinforce this narrative with all the media apparatus that he was trying to murder him, and then you finally see the video, it's very hard for these people, especially women, to think objectively. When in reality, I think he was trying to help him out. I don't know exactly, but that is the standard procedure. When you have somebody who is who's high on drugs and stuff like that, so
yeah,
so yeah,
well, that brings up another point that the media had access to this police report way before the public did. You know, they knew the truth about the matter, and they purposely let the public be incited. They purposely let the rioters get out there and make the public think that this black man was being, you know, unjustly oppressed. So the media has a lot of guilt here in these riots and these burnings of cities, because they had access to this report, and the public didn't have access to it till almost 6 weeks later. So yeah, you called it totally. I mean, the media is manipulating the public, and this judge, according to her own testimony, Amy Barrett, is allowing herself to be emotionally manipulated by this. So how can we trust her judgments? You know, how can we trust that she's going to judge righteously? You know, that's the whole point. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And I'm hoping that maybe it was a mistake. She probably doesn't know all the details and stuff like that. she probably didn't see the full body cam footage. So I'm hoping that when there are cases where everything's laid out, she could objectively come to the right ruling when it comes to cases like that. Because the truth is, the entire George Floyd thing never really came to her desk. But I hope not. I hope she didn't see the whole body cam footage and say that, because that would be absolutely ridiculous. So I'm hoping that that's the case. But what you said before about the media that they want this to happen, and that can't be more clearly laid out by the fact that the full body cam footage was released and there was a complete blackout. So if they really want what's best for people and the truth, then they would have obviously retracted what happened to George Floyd, but they just go full steam ahead in this narrative and they don't stop. So yeah, no, it's nothing novel, obviously, but the media is militant, and they're not just complicit. They're actively engaging in this violence towards the American people. There's no question about it.
They should be indicted in the upcoming race war, quote unquote. This conflict that everybody's predicting, you know, when the elections happen and the elections are contested, there's going to be violence in the streets. The media is pushing this. You know, I think left to themselves, Black America, White America, Hispanics, Jews, I think we could all find a way to get along and live in this great country. But because of the media and because of particular elites that want to benefit from this conflict, you know, they make that impossible to happen. So, you know, I'm a reasonable man. You know, I don't want to interracially marry. I want the white people of America to remain a majority, just like, you know, the founders, just like we have. But that doesn't mean that I hate other races. It doesn't mean that I want any kind of conflict. I don't want that. But the media wants to promote that. That's the thing, man. They want to destroy this great country, you know?
Yeah, and it's very true, and you have to be very take a step back and look objectively. You have to admire the patience that people have and the open-mindedness that, despite all this hostility, they're still willing to accept, like, Black people and people of other races into their movement, so long as, you know, so long as they love this country and stuff like that. So obviously, things are getting worse, and it's going to be a lot harder to resolve it in a reasonable manner on the current trajectory. But I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that people could see the violent mob and they could realize what the media is really about. You know, when it comes into your town and harasses you when you're sitting at your seat in your cafe drinking your coffee, they come there and they just drink it and they chase you out and scream in your face. And then you turn on the TV that night and you see that CNN is completely covering it up, you know? So I'm hoping that people could realize what the media is all about. And then I think we could really move forward, and we could really have an honest conversation about, you know, races in America, and obviously Jews are no exception. To put it lightly, but I'm very hopeful about that.
Yeah, you know, and we all got along. Go ahead with your question, Josh.
I'm sorry.
No, hit me with your question.
So my question is, I know Trump is obviously not involved in this deep state, you know, permanent Washington and stuff. And I think he does care about the country. I really do, based on his rhetoric, based on the way he really connects with the audience at his rallies. I think there's really a bond between Trump and his supporters and the American people. And I really think he has a good heart. I really do. And it's hard to say not like that, because if he was really cynical and evil, I think people would be. I think the media wouldn't hate him as much. I think they'd be more reasonable. But he doesn't take active action. Like, he doesn't actively pursue maybe firing these snakes and all these positions of power, implementing people that share the views of himself. Like, why isn't he as active? I don't know. Because he's definitely a smart person.
It's hard to figure him out. Let's just go off of what we can observe and not get too conspiratorial. I mean, you know, Trump is a New York Democrat. He is a Democrat of the 1990s. He's a Democrat who doesn't really care about abortion or tranny rights. That no Democrat cared about that, you know, 30 years ago. He's a Democrat that cares about workers' rights and the economy and America being great. And so I think that he ran, you know, based on that. I think his objection to immigration, to illegal immigration or any kind of immigration, is not one of race per se. He doesn't have – it's not on his radar that whites could become a minority. He's thinking, well, if all these immigrants come in, we're going to lose American jobs. That's how he's thinking. And that's how Democrats thought for decades, you know. And so I think that's where he's at. Now, there are a right-wing sliver of Jews that back Trump up. These are the Steinleitian Jewish right-wing slivers. Stephen Steinleit in 2001 wrote a paper on immigration and how the Jews should react to it. And he felt that the Jewish community should limit immigration down to a trickle because the new immigrants coming in are not going to be pro-Israel enough. And there's got to be time to sort of condition these immigrants to be pro-Israel. So he wanted to limit immigration for the purpose of the benefit of the Jewish people in America. And I think that these type of right-wing Jews got behind Trump and supported him. And I think that Trump had a lot of hooks in him. You know, he went bankrupt several times. You know, he is involved in the Deutsche Bank. And then this Mueller probe, there's a lot of things that were sent to the Southern District of New York where Trump could be prosecuted on the state level when he gets out of the presidency, and they can't be pardoned on the federal level. So I think there's a lot of different people pulling at Donald Trump. But at heart, he's probably just that 90s Democrat. And we've got a break coming up. But I want to know what you're thinking. The college. Call in. The Public Broadcast Network. We'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
Welcome back. National Bugle Radio on republicbroadcasting.org. This is your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, and we have Josh from New York, and we were just discussing President Trump, and what's the deal with this guy? Yeah, I think he's a 90s Democrat, and he has lots of different powerful Jewish people that have hooks in him. We know that Sheldon Adelson donated millions of dollars to Trump, and he wants a return on that money. But, you know, Trump is kind of here. He's doing what he thinks is right, but he's getting pulled from different directions. You know, Josh, you said that you're a Jewish man, and so you've got a little bit of insight in this. Give me your take on what I just said, and then we do have another caller to get to after you in the next break. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, so what you're saying is they have the hooks in him. So the thing is, I think if they would have the hooks in him, maybe he wouldn't be saying this rhetoric on Twitter and stuff, like and also on Rush Limbaugh when he was saying he's upset with Bill Barr not releasing the Durham probe or whatever on the spying on him and all these sorts of scandals that were happening on the Russiagate and all those like sorts of scandals that were happening within his own administration, I guess. You know, the anonymous sources, and then you have all the intelligence agencies. So, I mean, there obviously are. He is adherent in a certain way to people like Sheldon Adelson. I think that's why Mike Pompeo, who's obviously a neocon, is in his cabinet, and he had John Bolton, who's no longer there, and stuff like that. But when you start saying this rhetoric about how these people in national security organizations are bad, you know, they're part of this permanent state. It seems like he has a decent understanding of how it works and who these people are, and he'd be able to fire them. I mean, if he's not able to fire them, wouldn't he not be talking about how bad they are? Is, I guess, a better way to frame it. What do you think?
Well, we talked yesterday, Patrick and I, on the recording about the office of the presidency maybe not as powerful as we were all led to believe. The president of the United States is almost just a figurehead and is very limited in what he can do. Now, you know, constitutionally, he is to have a certain amount of power, but how does it really play out? You know, he can fire people and rehire people. But he's very, very limited because of checks and balances on what he can actually do. And I do think that he could fire Bill Barr and get someone else in. But who? Like, who is he going to get in? Does he know who to put in? That's the question. So
he should network with Tucker. You know what I mean?
He should.
He should. People like that.
That's how we think. But how does Trump think? I mean, I don't know. You know, I think that Trump is compromised, but he wants to do some good. I think that fundamentally he's a good person that wants to do good for this country, but he does have a lot of hooks in him. So it's very hard to, for us to armchair quarterback and figure out what should Trump do, what could Trump do. I just think at the bottom line, the office of the presidency is not as powerful as we thought. That's what we've got to come to terms with. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's for sure true. And if he did a lot of good, I do think he has accomplished a lot. But if there's one thing he did, it's that he showed us what we're dealing with. Because a lot of these people and these national security agencies, we have this positive, outlook on them as if they're these G.I. Joes, that's how Darren Beatty put it, that are, these James Bonds trying to fight for our national security interests and, going undercover. When in reality, the majority of it is just a bunch of bureaucrats like that you see in the DMV that are just actively trying to censor and sabotage the president and his supporters so they could reinstate one of their guys. And that is huge. We know what we're dealing with. So now the new people coming into politics that were elected, became of age, I guess, in the years of the Donald Trump presidency, are going to have this populist outlook, and they're also going to know how deep and how resonant the deep state really is, and they'll be able to counteract that. That's why another 4 years will be crucial. That's another 4 years of populist rhetoric from the president of the United States. Think of the impact that had. Think of the impact that Reagan had on people that grew up in his era, and think about the impact that Trump has on youngsters. In a couple of years, people in politics are going to say, I'm a Trump Republican.
You're totally right. You're making a point that even if Trump doesn't do anything, even if he doesn't govern well in the next 4 years, just his mere presence is going to make these people expose themselves. And that's huge. That's huge for people to see what's going on. So, that's what we're dealing with. But we're coming up on a break. I'm about to let you go, Josh. And we got another caller from Florida.
All right.
At the end of the break, we'll be broadcasting National Bugle.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Radio on republicbroadcasting.org, and we are here with Charles from Florida is the next caller. Charles, welcome to the show. What do you have on your mind?
How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing great, my friend.
Good to hear you today. The things I've heard about Amy Barrett, well, she's supposedly a conservative Catholic. And that gets my approval. But I'm wondering, are we being hoodwinked? She supposedly is for compulsory vaccination and for biometric ID, internal passports that they're pushing now in the European Union. She was a secretary to Scalia, who was supposed to be a great conservative court justice of the Supreme Court, is Catholic, supposedly, but actually was a member of a branch of Bohemian Groves, and he died under very suspicious circumstances. I don't know if you ever read Veterans Today by Gordon Duff or Mike Hoffman's revisionisthistory.org publications. I get many things. I'm not sure exactly where, but I'm very suspicious of them. We're dealing here with Trump, who's a ring knocker, I think. And he also may be influenced by Opus Dei, which I'm very suspicious of, supposedly opposed to. That's my analysis of it. You say, what is it based on? I don't know. But I don't trust Amy Barrett. I don't trust Trump. I think he's playing a good cop, and what's his name? Biden is playing a bad cop. What do you think?
I'm voting for Trump, and support Trump,
me too.
In the sense that, go ahead, Charles.
Well, I don't have any choice. I'm not voting for Biden.
No, we buy a little bit of time with Trump. That's it. But you know, the as far as Amy Barrett, she's probably a better choice than, you know, Biden or Hillary would have provided. But at the end of the day, how is she going to rule on issues of BLM versus the police? You know, when she was asked about how did she react to that George Floyd video, she said, "Oh well, you know, my, you know,
well,
I've got."
I say she was. She was a secretary to Scalia, who was another phony, total phony. He wasn't a conservative, traditional Catholic, et cetera, et cetera. He was actually a group that was a branch of Bohemian Grove. That's where he died. You know, his strange death, you know, which was covered up. You know, he had younger boy on his bed, you know, as I understand.
Oh God.
Did you ever see Alex Jones's analysis of this? He had videos, if you could ask him about it. You know, he went there personally where Scalia died, you know, in I think it was in New Mexico somewhere. Very strange.
No, I haven't seen that, but I know kind of what you're talking about. Our elites, whether Jewish or non-Jewish, our elites that run our government tend to be among this, like, Satan-worshipping pedophile group, you know, Pizzagate tier.
Did you know Scalia was a Kabbalist? This is in Mike Hoffman's, one of his... Yeah, he said maybe I have Jewish ancestry in Spain. You know, Scalia's Italian, but, you know, he supposedly said that. That's in revisionisthistory.org. Michael Hoffman II is a friend of mine.
It's very odd. And it's an example of how, you know, the elite, the enemies of America, have a controlled opposition. You know, they put people in that we think are good people, but they're still tied in with all of this Kabbalist nonsense. But as far as, you know, let's just look at it at face value, as far as Amy Barrett. Let's ignore all of this other stuff that we're talking about and just look at what she said. When asked about George Floyd, she said, I would hope that my black, you know, daughter from Haiti that I adopted wouldn't have a son who would be, you know, persecuted like George Floyd was. Well, you know, I mean, she's buying into this whole Black Lives Matter narrative. I mean, she's giving into the emotional manipulation that the media does on us. Can she really be a true judge that judges truth and unbiased? I don't think so.
I don't believe her. I don't believe her for a moment. She knows what's going on. And Dershowitz has said that 1905, the Supreme Court decided that the authorities can vaccinate anybody and there's no stopping it. So it's already in the works. They're going to have mandatory vaccination and biometric IDs and the whole works.
You know, Dershowitz. Dershowitz also defended Epstein. You know that, right? I mean, Dershowitz is not this constitutional lawyer, you know, above reproach that they paint him to be. I mean, he defended a pedophile.
That's true.
And so here's my thing. We the people have weapons. And you want to force your vaccinations on us? You know, I've got a six shooter that says you can't do that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that, my friend? Yeah. You're not going to force anything on me. My body, my choice. What about that, right?
Oh, yeah, you would think so. You would think the principles of Nuremberg, you know, that you can't have forced vaccine. After the Nuremberg trials, you can't have forced vaccinate. But never mind, you know, 1905, the great Supreme Court decided, according to Dershowitz, anyway, whatever case it was, you know. So
Dershowitz,
I'm very suspicious of all these people, especially the Supreme Court. All these people, Thomas, all of them, you know, the black guy. I don't know what they're really like. Whether they just pose, you know, the big hoodwink. It's not gaslighting; it's hoodwinking. You know, think hoodwink. Hoodwinking us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I thank you, Charles. Do you have a parting thought?
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
We'll move on. Thank you, Charles. So I want to get on to the email that, you know, we have an email on the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com that you can send your thoughts. And we have a couple of emails here that I want to read. So the first one is from Clover Lawns. He sends us lots of emails. This is one position about masks that doesn't get enough publicity. What they were publicly used for pre-COVID-19. And he writes, masks worn by Asians during the influenza, masks worn by extremely compromised immune systems, i.e. those undergoing chemotherapy and cancer treatment. So then who are the masks for? Who are they protecting? The masks are protecting the wearer, not anybody else. Thus, logically, wearing a mask to protect others is a fallacy. Yet half or more buy into this hoax. So logically, the severity lacking in our society. Logic is severely lacking. God help us. But this mask usefulness needs to be shouted from the rooftops by your show, by Stormfront, and by all of our opposition voices. Very truly said, if you're wearing a mask, number one, it needs to be a N95 or better, and you need to be a person who is of compromised immunity. You need to be a person that cannot, you know, handle the different germs and things that come into your respiratory system. So you wear a mask, and it needs to be an actual mask, not a cloth, not a bandana. It needs to be a real mask that filters out, deadly or damaging things in the atmosphere. And so that's the point of this email. All right. We have an email from Becky. Becky writes, Dr. Slattery, I want to say that I'm a longtime listener of Stormfront, of Dr. David Duke, and Mark Collett videos, and other shows offered on YouTube, RBN, and the Rinse Radio. And I appreciate your naturalist views and your commentary. But I also have to say, that during the shows, as of late in these past few months, there is so much background noise that it is maddening, and it takes away from the conversation greatly. You just said on today's show, dated 10/16/2020, that you were doing some plumbing and that the mute was on. Well, the mute definitely was not on. As I have said, I've listened for years, and this is something new, heard on so many of the shows lately. Sorry to pick, but I feel I just have to. You should maybe listen to today's show and maybe other shows and listen to the way that the noise has been heard on my end also and heard in the archive shows. Your work and your truthful commentary is invaluable to us. But please, could you sip coffee or tea and tell us like it is? Much love, Rebecca. Thank you, Rebecca, for your constructive criticism. I know Patrick often remodels like half a house when he's online on the show, but he will be more sensitive to the mute button from here on out, and we thank you for that. But anyway, so one of the news articles that we have seen lately is the Biden laptop. So apparently what's happened is that Biden's laptop was turned into a repairman. And the New York Post did an article on this, and it was suppressed. So I've got an article here from DelawareOnline.com. And it states, a Wilmington, Delaware computer repairman who reportedly gave a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive to Rudy Giuliani's attorney, Brian Costello, spoke cryptically on Wednesday about his arrangement last month with the Republican operative. In a winding interview with the media, John Paul Mac Isaac, owner of the Mac Shop in Williamton, Delaware, recalled how in an April 2019, a man who identified himself as Hunter Biden brought three liquid damaged laptops to his small repair shop in the Trolley Square shopping center. Only one was left for repair, he said. No one returned to retrieve it, he said. In the subsequent year and a half, Mac Isaac said that a whole lot of players were involved in the story that ended with President Donald Trump circles taking possession of a copy of the laptop and the hard drive less than 2 months before the presidential election. Mac Isaac declined to name most of them. The hard drive reportedly contained emails from 2015 that were the basis for a New York Post story published on Wednesday morning, claiming that the then Vice President Joe Biden held a meeting with a high-ranking official at Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian energy company that had employed his son, Hunter Biden. By Wednesday afternoon, the veracity of the claim was being challenged by the Biden campaign, which said in a statement that no such meeting existed in the then vice presidential official calendar. No meeting, as allegedly by the New York Post, ever took place, the campaign said. Later in the day, Facebook and Twitter, in an unprecedented decision, both implemented policies limiting the sharing of the story. I want you to focus on that. Facebook and Twitter were blocking people who shared this story of the Biden corruption. Okay? Reading on in the article, Facebook spokesman Andy Stone described the move as part of our standard process to reduce the spread of misinformation, pending a, quote, fact checker review, unquote. Mac Isaac reportedly claimed that he had shared the device with Costello because he was fearful for his safety. He did not explain how a move that would result in publicity would improve his security. Mac Isaac also declined to state whether he approached Costello first with the hard drive or whether Giuliani's team came to him. When pressed on the question, he answered in vague, near soliloquy, stating, "When you're afraid that you don't know anything about the depth of the waters that you're in, you want to find a lifeguard." So here we have it, folks. Reports of Joe Biden and his son getting illegal money from foreign countries has been suppressed on media. That's where we're at today. And I want you to think about this. Think about where they want us to go and how they want to control the internet, right? During the lockdown, many children were forced to do school online.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another.
So let's go to the break.
Resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Welcome back to National Bugle Radio on republicbroadcasting.org. Welcome back, my classy ones. And aren't we all very relieved that Cory Booker made sure that Justice Barrett condemns white supremacy like multiple times? Isn't that the main objective, is that she is not a white supremacist? I mean, she adopted several children from Haiti. So, I mean, clearly she's not a white supremacist, but yet Cory Booker made sure to make sure that she renounces white supremacism. Cory Booker doesn't even look black. He kind of looks like Telly Savalas with a good tan, wouldn't you say? But at any rate, so the New Jersey Democrat, Senator Cory Booker, made sure that President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, condemns white supremacy on her third day of confirmation hearings. "I'm so glad to see that you said that," he told her. "But we are at a time when Americans are fearful because their president cannot do that in the resolute manner in which you did. I'm sorry that that question even had to be asked." Wow, how dramatic. So the thing is that they're jumping on Trump because he didn't automatically condemn white supremacy in those exact words. Well, I mean, he renounced David Duke several times, and he has renounced white supremacy. But this is the thing. What is the definition of white supremacy? What do they call a white nationalist? Is it somebody that lights a wooden cross in the yard with gasoline? Or is it somebody that goes after people of color just because they're colorful? What is white supremacy? What are they using to define this? Let's define our terms. In their terms, white supremacy is anybody that would object to America being overrun by the third world. That's right. If you want to control our borders and you want immigration to be illegal, you're a white supremacist. That's how they're going to label you. If you're somebody that does not want your child to be read to in a library by a transvestite, then you're a white supremacist. You see, they're not going to care about your real ideology. They're not going to care that you're a good person who has black friends and black neighbors. They're not going to care that you go to the barbecue shop down the road that's ran by a black man. They don't care about that. What they care about is, did you vote Trump or not? And anybody that supports Trump is a white supremacist or a white nationalist. That's how they're going to categorize you. And they're going to enact legislation under Biden and Harris to this fact. Friends, we're at the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Donate to RBN. And tune in tomorrow for Patrick Slattery on National Bugle Radio. Jeremy signing off. Stay classy.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.